Hello and welcome to MLW Confusion. I'm your host, Rob Cameron, bringing you all that you may or may not need to know about MLW and its television programming. This week, we are going to cover some news and take a look at MLW Fusion 131, the season finale. Of course, the news. The first big thing is that MLW debuted on Vice TV this past weekend. And, of course, this is part of my journalistic duties to check it out, see what's going on, and report it back to you. And then, you know, how this would affect the podcast. Well, like, it would just kind of depend on what's going on. And my official decision upon viewing is this. At least this past weekend's show was a rerun of MLW Fusion. I want to say it was, like, 95, I believe. I didn't write that down into my notes. But it was an episode that I actually covered on Confusion, because it happened in the past year and a half. So I've chosen not to officially review it as part of the new episodes of Confusion. But if you're interested in hearing a recap of that, you can dig through the archives of the podcast and find episode 10. Episode 10, Still with Less Ropes, on MLW Confusion. And so, kind of piggybacking up along with this, I've come to the official decision that, for the sake of my time and sanity, mostly the time aspect of it, is that Confusion will stay how it is, and I'll give kind of a recap or point you guys in the right direction in the case that the Vice TV episodes are reruns. I don't really want to recap shows I've already covered on the podcast, so if that's going to be the case, so if it's a Fusion I've covered, if it's an episode of, say, like, Anthology that I covered, or even like a classic episode of Underground that I've already covered in the podcast, I'm just going to point you guys to the episode number and go check out the review again. That way, Confusion maintains a proper, you know, relatively short length, and, you know, you can dig through the archives. If you go to my Twitter, I'll try to keep that updated. If you go to the Twitter, at the Nova of Cass, TheNovaOfCass, I'll try to keep it posted there with the direct link. That way you don't have to go through all of the archives. But, you know, just binge listen to everything. That's what you should do. Be a diligent listener and just binge listen to everything, though. But that being said, if anything new pops up on the Vice show, I will totally include it in the podcast, in the new episodes. So just kind of cutting out the middleman, especially if I've already covered it, so you guys can, you know, not necessarily listen to everything twice, thrice, whatever four is, so whatever. So we're going to move along, and we'll just play it by ear as per usual. But tonight is a big night. It is the season finale. We are not getting any new episodes of MLW Fusion until July. They're making their big return July 10th at the ECW Arena, the former ECW Arena, now known as the 2300 Arena. And Contra is supposed to be crashing the party, so we'll see how that goes. No matches have been announced yet, but that is going to be the season premiere for MLW Fusion. Anyway, tonight's episode 131 starts off with a highlight video highlighting Reed Rush, number 2 for the middleweight championship. These two have exchanged kind of some war of the words since Leo Rush won the middleweight championship back in January. And it looks like Myron Reed's finally going to get his rematch that he has so earned by being the former champion tonight. We'll see if he can be the only two-time champion in Major League Wrestling history. Moving on, we have our intro. Ray Flores welcomes us to the show. He is with Mr. Saint Laurent. We run down the card. We have Gringo Loco in action. Richard Holiday is also in action. We'll get the big answers to, what about the World Heavyweight title contract situation? Does Contra truly have control of the contracts? And what's going on with Azteca Underground and the potential kidnapping of Selena De La Renta? Anyway, never mind that. We are going to have a match instead of, you know, answering those important questions. Gringo Loco versus the Laredo Kid is our first match of the evening. And the first thing I note that is Kid comes out with the AAA Cruiserweight Championship. You might remember, if you've listened to this podcast or just keep up with MLW in general, that Laredo Kid lost the AAA Cruiserweight Championship to Leo Rush in a title unification match a couple months ago. Evidently, AAA wasn't informed about this, so, retcon punch, baby. Yeah. So, AAA is continuing to recognize Laredo Kid as the champion, due to a potential phantom tap out on a trailer hitch hold, reverse deathlock kind of maneuver from the match. They show the replay of it, and Rush totally didn't tap. He kind of reached for the ropes, but Flores and St. Laurent try to kind of cover for it, you know, the best they can, to go along with some, we'll say, managerial faux pas, if you will. But we are going to have Laredo Kid as Cruiserweight Champion here tonight. And we have his match. We have our traditional high flyers kind of standoff, you know, we're a trade-off high-flying maneuver, see who's the best, take turns arm-dragging each other outside of the ring, starting with Gringo Loco, and then Laredo Kid does it as well. We get a top rope Hurricane Rana by Laredo Kid on Mr. Gringo Loco, and then we repeat the process, only this time from the ring to the arena floor. Other big spots is we got a moonsault catch that gets turned into a reverse DDT by Gringo Loco. Laredo Kid dodges outside, but that doesn't stop Gringo Loco from bouncing off the ropes and hit a tope con hilo. Big two count inside the ring for that. Gringo is frustrated by this. He goes up, tries to hit a split-legged moonsault. Doesn't work. Laredo Kid goes for his three amigos moonsaults. Unfortunately, on moonsault number two, Gringo catches it and turns it into a standing iconiclism. We get a top rope Hurricane Rana, springboard style, on Gringo Loco, who's on the middle rope. Only gets two count as well. Kid eventually hits a flipping belly-to-belly off the top rope for the 1-2-3. Laredo Kid gets the win. And, oh, my official, like, rate review on this was that, like, it was a solid enough match. But really, like, it never got out of first. Like, they did some cool lucha things. You know, not you know, good lucha things that Kalisto would be proud of, but just enough to say they were doing lucha. But it really just kind of seemed slow-mo at times as well, and just didn't seem to have a lot going for it. They did tell kind of a nice story about being very frustrated with referees, but, you know, that's not enough for me, because Lord knows I'm constantly frustrated with referees, because they're all biased. Inherently biased. Referees are ref bias. But, you know, there's nothing inherently wrong with the match. It's not like they botched all over or did anything extra that I would hate, but it just, they were kind of stuck in first, and it kind of showed. Up next, we get a recap of the kidnapping of Selena De La Renta. For those of you who missed the show last week, Selena, who's a manager for MLW under the employ of Azteca Underground, has been trying to wrangle up all the gold for El Jefe, the mysterious owner of Azteca Underground, and she's kind of hit a losing streak with her charges. Most recently, last week, Buku Dao beat El Hijo del LA Park. Following this match, a masked man took Selena into a car, and they drove off. Now, I know I kind of had like a special alert thing at the end of last week's podcast, but about Selena not being truly kidnapped, and evidently that is being considered non-canon. From Major League Wrestling. They will, spoiler alert, not reference Selena making a break for it and getting on a helicopter and leaving. So what happens next from here? Nobody knows. But this is what I get for using, you know, workers' social media as actual news instead of just, you know, holding off. But, you know, it's one of those things where I just figured, like, oh, look, they're furthering the story. Sometimes workers do that. And then I got worked. So this is a way for Selena to continue tweeting. And I guess Azteca Underground and Major League Wrestling is still doing their thing. So officially speaking, Selena is still kidnapped. We will have more news on this by the end of the show. Following the recap, we get an interview with Alexander Hammerstone. He saw Joseph Samael deny Hammerstone's title request against Jacob Fatu, and it made Hammer very, very upset, which he admits. And that's exactly what Joseph Samael would have wanted Hammer to be, is quite upset. So Hammer calmed himself down and started thinking things through, and realized that, you know, for all the destruction that Jacob Fatu is causing, it's not Fatu that's scared of Hammerstone. Fatu rightfully thinks that, you know, he can bring the fight to Hammer. It's Joseph Samael who's the one that is afraid that his meal ticket isn't invincible after all. Following our boy Hammer, we get a list of upcoming events. Of course, this Saturday is going to be another episode of MLW on Vice TV. On July 10th, we are going to have the new season of MLW Fusion at the 2300 Arena. And there will be two other tapings announced for the year. Tickets should be available here shortly. First, with on 9/11, they'll be in Dallas. And November 6th, they will be in Chicago, Illinois. Following our little update there, Alicia Toot is giving us an update on the championship contract situation, and it turns out that Joseph Samael is correct, that all title matches have to be vetted through Samael before the matches actually occur. But there is one loophole to his contract tampering, and that is Battle Riot. As far as I know, Battle Riot has not been scheduled yet, but Battle Riot is kind of the Royal Rumble, if you will, of Major League Wrestling. And previous winners included Filthy Tom Lawler and L.A. Park. And it kind of works as a quasi-Money in the Bank kind of thing, too. It guarantees you a title shot of your choosing, but it's not like true Money in the Bank where you can just be like, cash it in now! Like, no, you got to announce it. They got to, you know, do the proper prep on that. So, moving on, we go to Hawaii where we see Ross and Marshall Von Erich. Ross, you know, basks in his victory last week against Dominic Guarini. Notes that Kiji Muto, the great Muta, taught him that he should always look at things through the eyes of a student. Always be learning, and that has helped him out. Marshall, on the other hand, is upset that he lost and kind of let everyone down. He may have been injured, but that's still, like, it should have been his opportunity to capitalize on. So, instead, he's going to issue a challenge to Team Filthy come July 10th in the 2300 Arena. So, that'll be exciting. More Team Filthy action. Alright, it is time for our next match. Richard Holiday taking on Ariel Dominguez. Oh, Ariel's back. Good on him. Hope he doesn't die. For those of you not aware, Ariel Dominguez is a smaller competitor, and he's kind of a jobber. He jobs a lot for Major League Wrestling. And, oh, look! Hey, he's got a headlock on. He's got that really cinched... Nope. Holiday lifted him up in the air, put him on the turnbuckle, and punched him off. Well, that's great. This is not going well. Oh, look, it's the market crash of 2008. 1, 2, 3. Our match is over in about a minute, 38 seconds. Richard Holiday, the IWA Caribbean champion, is your winner. He wanders up the ramp. He's going to have a word with Alicia Toot when a wild Gina Medina appears. They have words. Gino agrees to leave for Alicia, but comes right back, blindsides Richard Holiday, DDTs him on the wooden floor. Security and the doctor, etc., comes out, clear things away. Gino, you know, makes it known that he quit. He was not fired. We get a brief break before MLW physician Dr. Schwegler gives an update saying that Holiday is on his way to the hospital and has suffered a possible skull fracture. So, speedy recovery to Mr. Holiday. All right, let's take a pause for the cause. Listen to all the ads for the people who pay me the big bucks to do what it is I do. I will see you in one momento.
Now, whether you're someone who works out, or, like me, needs to maintain focus and mental clarity, we could all use a pick-me-up. That's where Raise Energy steps in. With Refresh technology, Raise provides a hydrating, sugar-free boost of energy without the crash some other energy drinks have. You can find out where you can get Raise Energy near you by visiting www.repsports.com, and while you're there, check out the other products that Rep offers, such as pre- and post-workout supplements and snacks. And if you want some extra savings, order online and apply my discount code CASS, that's C-A-S-S, at checkout for 15% off your order.
All right, we are back. Looks like we are going to have our PWI MLW Alexander Hammerstone Memorial Top 10 list. Number 10, Rocky Romero. Number 9, Ross Von Erich. Number 8, Calvin Tankman. 7, Myron Reed. 6, Mil Muertes. 5, Richard Holiday. 4, Mads Kruger of Contra. 3, Leo Rush. Number 2, your Opera Cup and New Japan Strong Champion, Filthy Tom Lawler. And number 1, your reigning, defending, National Open Weight Champion, your boy, Alexander Hammerstone, for the 8,000th consecutive week in a row. Alright, it is time for our main event. Myron Reed taking on Leo Rush for the MLW Middleweight Championship. These two obviously have a little bit of history. It was Leo Rush that took the title from Myron Reed back in January. Can Reed, who's put in the work, who's fought off Contra, can he get the title back? Looks like things are going to start off kind of heated. It's kind of chest to forehead because Leo Rush is kind of tiny, but one thing that isn't tiny about Leo Rush, his ego shoves Myron Reed back. And then the two proceed to do what they can to kind of outshine each other, doing little taunts whenever they can get in a good move in. But ultimately, it is Rush taking control of things with lots of strikes, utilizing his speed. I wouldn't call it the speed advantage, but also using his speed to kind of run around a bit. Reed makes a comeback, though, with a big jawbreaker. Rush misses an acai moonsault to take quick advantage of things, but since he missed it, obviously he couldn't do that, and allowing Reed to hit a big dive to the outside. Reed gets caught going for the stunner, and gets hit with a reverse superplex for his efforts, hits a springboard cutter, air raid crash, gets a 2 count, Reed can't believe it. Leo Rush comes back with a couple of big kicks. Rush catches Reed with the cutter catches Reed's cutter attempt to the outside. It's this big, like, crazy dive of a cutter where, the opponent's on the ring apron, so Leo Rush is on the ring apron. And Myron bolts and tries to hit a cutter to the arena floor. Unfortunately, they just kind of drop to the floor where Rush catches Reed and rams him into the turnbuckle. Comes inside the ring, just gets a 2 count. Rush hits a couple of big kicks in the process. Rush hits the man of the hour, Frog Splash, the Rush Hour, Frog Splash, but he couldn't compete. He couldn't... capitalize, there's the word I'm looking for. Couldn't capitalize on it, and because of it, because of the time he took to get the pin, only got a 2 count. Reed ends up fighting back out of submission and hits a big air raid crash again. Goes up to the ring apron, springboard 450, no cap splash. The 1, 2, 3. You're new MLW middleweight champion, Myron Reed. This makes Reed the first and only 2-time champion of any division in Major League Wrestling history, which, not to denote or downsize the achievement of it, the announce team really plug over like the 19-year history of MLW, forgetting that the company was inactive for quite some time, so it wasn't really, a 19-year history, really, so much as, like 10 max year history. But anyway, congratulations, champ. You've earned it. You've worked hard for it. You fought off Contra. You helped save MLW. Get your title back, kid. Jordan Oliver, Calvin Tankman, members of Injustice, come out to help celebrate with Reed as the show kind of fades off. But wait, there's more. We get a flashcard noting that we are in Boyle Heights in Southern California. A screaming woman that is assumed to be Selena De La Renta is being brought in by our masked associate and sat down. And El Jefe speaks. And we get Camera. Holy Jeebus, they did it! It's Dario Cueto. Dario's back. Dario Cueto is the head of Azteca Underground. And, you know, we all kind of got the hints and we all kind of figured that it was going to be Dario. But really, like, did we expect it to be Dario? I mean, yes, there's death and time travel and contracts and whatnot, but, like, it really is Dario, and that is amazeballs. I am excited. So Dario gives his little spiel about really all he wanted from Selena was gold and violence. And, you know, she tried, but she didn't really deliver. But you know what? He's starting a new temple. And sometimes when you're creating a temple, there needs to be certain sacrifices. So we will see where this is going. Dario gets a phone call, and he notes that he will be there July 10th, meeting whomever it is that was on the telephone. So it looks like Dario may be making an appearance at the 2300 Arena this July for the next set of MLW Fusion tapings. So yeah, that was our big surprise of the night. Dario's back. So just confirming a lot of the things that, you know, all the fans have been speculating about. So I mean, really, you know, that is a cliffhanger you end a season on, ladies and gentlemen. So we'll see how this new temple gets going. Azteca Underground Limited is back, baby, or I guess Faux Lucha Underground is back, which, you know, is exciting for all of us believers. So, again, a really solid show tonight. I mean, yeah, I could mutter, you know, grumblings about the first match, not getting out of first gear, but, you know, it was a solid enough match. But really, like, we've got some cliffhangers going on into the start of the new season, July 10th, and I'm curious. I'm morbidly curious to see where this goes. So, unfortunately, to tide me over, we are going to get, like, recaps of MLW Underground from back in the day, and then kind of whatever they're throwing up on Vice, which it looks to be previously aired episodes of MLW Fusion. So, we'll play those things by ear. I'm going to go, I don't know, binge-watch Lucha Underground or something, or just, you know, salivate in the violence that has been Wednesday Night Wrestling. If anything pops up, I'll, you know, plug it in here after the fact with some weird sound effects. But anyway, that's all. We will end the show. Thank you all for listening. I will catch you all later.
MLW Confusion is a member of the One Stop Wrestling family. It is produced by Rob Cameron. If you enjoy the show, please subscribe and leave a review in addition to telling your friends, family, and enemies. Word of mouth promotion is very important to small podcasts like us. If you're interested in keeping up to date on Confusion, it can be found on Facebook at MLW Confusion, all one word, no hyphen, and the Twitter is at the Nova of Cass. If you'd like to support monetarily and help upgrade our equipment, my virtual tip jar can be found at www.kofi.com/Casanova, CASSONOVA, or for more bang for your buck, visit my Patreon at www.patreon.com/Casanova, same as with the Ko-Fi. For as little as $1 a month, you can get early access to the podcast without those pesky ads, plus other exclusive goodies. So be like Maverick45 and Alan Schroeder, who've been there since the beginning, and join up. The written form of all of these links can be found in the episode description. Thanks!